AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Norwich's manager says Adam Ida will be an important player for them this season. Are Rangers reigniting their interest in striker Tyrese Campbell? And Scotland dropped 9 places to 48th in the FIFA World Rankings. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Marvin Bartley. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I thought the weather was going to hold out for my reappearance here, but it's just started to rain the last couple of minutes.
How long have you been in Scotland? How long have you lived in Scotland?
Oh no, wishful thinking, wasn't it? But brilliant to be back, mate.
Yeah, there's a lot happening as well. Transfer rumours, it has picked up in the last few days.
Yeah.
What have you made of what's been happening?
Honestly, it's always an interesting time, isn't it? Obviously, you know, we get into it with the Adam Ida one, obviously starting for Norwich yesterday and playing the first half an hour. I've seen a lot of Celtic fans wanting that deal done a long, long time ago, as soon as the season kind of finished. So it looks like, you know, Norwich want to keep him, or they're going to try and play hardball in terms of his valuation. But yeah, listen, a lot's been happening. Obviously, League Cup back as well, so I've been watching a bit of that. So no, it's brilliant to have the football back, but listen, we just want the top flight to start, don't we?
Yeah, still expecting a lot more business to be done in the next few days as well, the next few weeks, obviously. As you say, the competitive action is back as well. We thought we were over the Euros, and then FIFA decided to come out and put out the world rankings today, down 9 places to 48th. And as much as I joke, there is a sort of serious point in that where it just shows the trajectory that Scotland are on at the moment. One win in 12. There are some tough games coming up as well. There's going to need to be something sorted out, changed for that coming up camp.
Yeah, they want to win the game, don't they? Listen, it's been a difficult period, no doubt about it. We all know the Euros and how disappointing it was. But, you know, the Nations League coming up next, you know, three massive games you're speaking about. It was at Poland, Portugal and Croatia. The three, yeah. So listen, it's going to be tough. Listen, dropping down in the rankings was always going to happen, but it doesn't matter. The rankings don't matter when you go in there and you're ready to play your game. But I'm sure by the time the international break comes around, Scotland will be ready to go out there and, you know, and get a win and get the fans back on side, so to speak.
Well, let's hear from you, 0141-951-1025 on the phones, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. We want to hear what you're thinking about your club, what's going on at the moment, whether it is transfers, whether it's pre-season friendlies. Of course, plenty of teams have already got down to competitive action as well. There were some interesting games over the last couple of nights as well in the League Cup, some big scorelines as well, an 8-0 for Airdrie. Yeah. Hibs, your old team, have scored 10 goals in the last two games. Look, good start to the season under David Gray.
Yeah, fantastic start for Dave. 5-1 against Queen's Park the other night. So listen, he'll be absolutely delighted. Elgin first and foremost beating them 5-0, and then, you know, the 5-1 victory, and then going to obviously this weekend's game. As he said, it's about topping the group stages for them. And you know, he understands that the level of opponent they're playing at this moment in time is lesser than what he'll be facing in the league. But listen, it's a fantastic start.
Well, let's hear from you. As I say, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. You can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB, but we like hearing from you on the phones and to encourage you to phone in as well. All this week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we're giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to the Scottish Sun Ladies Night at Ayr Racecourse. They're club tickets with access to the champagne bar and the gardens, as well as the Royal Suite, which has panoramic views of the racecourse. It's happening on Saturday, the 10th of August. Gates open at 4 o'clock, kicks off just after 6 with the last race at 8:45. There's also 3 hours of live music, headlined by Kimberly Wyatt from the Pussycat Dolls. Loads of prizes as well, £1,000 worth of prizes, including a £500 Thorn travel voucher as well that's up for grabs. So for your chance to win and to be in the draw, all you need to do is make it on air and make a point about football, please, not about horse racing. That would be good. At the end of the show, we'll draw a name from the hat and the winner will be heading off to Ayr Racecourse on the 10th of August. So give us a call right now, 0141 951 1025 for your chance to win and get along to the Scottish Sun Ladies Night. Right, let's have a look at what's been happening today. We mentioned last night on the show that Adam Ida had started a pre-season friendly for Norwich. They played against Club Bruges. I think it was a 3-0 defeat while we were on air. He was substituted off around 30 minutes in. Our Twitter feed said it was pre-planned. The quotes afterwards, I think, are probably the most interesting part, because the manager, their manager, was asked about Adam Ida and his future and how he saw him fitting into the team, if at all, what his future looked like. And I'll bring in those quotes now, because he said, like I said at the beginning of pre-season, we consider Adam as an important player for us. So that's why he got 30 minutes today, which was important for him to get started and back into the rhythm. He had more or less one full week of training, so that's why we were pretty sure it would only be half an hour today. Essentially saying that he hopes he can build up his fitness, watching his quality, seeing what he can do. He will be an important player for us. That's not what a lot of Celtic fans will be wanting to hear, I would assume, Marvin.
No, not at all. And as I said, you know, off the back of the way he ended the season with Celtic, a lot of their fans wanted that transfer and wanted it done straight away. Listen, it was always going to be difficult with a new manager coming into Norwich. He was always going to look at his squad. And obviously he sees Adam as a big part of that. You know, in his words there, he's had a week's worth of training. He's given them 30 minutes to play. But listen, if a player wants to go somewhere and a club meets the valuation, and they'll still go, regardless of what managers say, Adam will have a valuation that Norwich think, if that's hit, he can go. But it's not what Celtic want to hear. You know, what you actually want to hear is that he's surplus to requirements. You know, if we can move him on, we will, then you pay a lot less for him. But I think Celtic are going to, have to put their hands in their pocket and deeply into their pocket if they want to bring him into the football club, because they're going to have to now prize him away from Norwich rather than Norwich, looking to move him on.
Yeah, I don't know whether this is just the sceptic in me or not, but is there a chance that the manager's maybe saying that because, the reports are that Adam Ida wants the move to happen, that he feels, well, if he is going to move, if I stand here and say he's an important player and we really want him, then it could help drive the price up?
No, of course, it's definitely going to drive the price up, and Adam might have to go into the club and say, listen, if Celtic were to bid, I don't know, £5-6 million, would that be acceptable? And if Norwich say yes, then, he's still able to make the move. But the manager's also looking out for himself. You know, it's important for Norwich that they get back to the Premier League. And if he believes that Adam is a massive part of that, then there's no amount of money that Celtic can, really bid to get him away from there, because I think going to the Premier League is worth £150 million. So, if a player can help you do that and you think he's really going to enhance your chances of doing that, then, his valuation is going to be a lot higher than obviously what Celtic are hoping at this moment in time.
Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Andy is a Celtic fan up first in Royston. Andy, what have you got for us tonight?
Andrew, Marvin, how are you? Okay?
All good. Yourself? Mate.
I'm very well, thanks. It's good to be nearly back to the real football.
Yeah, exactly.
No offence to the League Cup, guys. I've been listening to a number of people talking about how it's drastic and really important for Celtic to sign players immediately and now, and how they're too slow and stuff. Like I seen mentioned, Hugh Keevans was mentioning last night that they need to sign now. I don't think Celtic... We probably only need about three, potentially four, starters that's going to enhance the squad. We don't really need to enhance the squad for the Premier League, and I'm not being disrespectful when I say that. However, I don't think Celtic will be signing anybody of note until the latter end of August. And I'll tell you why my thoughts on that is the market will change during that month. Somebody who's currently a number two at a club will find himself number four or five as a striker because they've made new signings. They might not be in the manager's plans. Marvin will know these things change constantly. Mm-hmm. So I think Celtic will be holding on. I do believe that this club will sign two £10 million players. I know people might be shocked at that. But I can't see it happening soon. I think the market will dictate when Celtic are able to bring in players who might be out of favour at sort of a so-called bigger clubs or bigger league, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, we've had plenty of Celtic fans on the phones that have wanted business to be done a lot quicker than it has been. Andy's saying, the first league games aren't until the 4th of August. He feels the squad is capable enough of handling that. When you look at the Champions League group stage, it doesn't kick off until the 17th of September,
yeah.
I think it is. So if that's when Celtic are looking to strengthen by and have players in for, then Brendan Rodgers does have a bit of time. And then that allows for, the transfer market, which does always heat up towards the end of the window.
Yeah, listen, Andy makes a fantastic point there in terms of, waiting for other moving parts of the transfer window. No matter what, in Scottish football, I'm sure that Celtic are looking at players now and, they might be number one target for Celtic, but Celtic might not be the number one destination for them. There could be Premier League teams in England that are interested in them. There could be other teams around Europe that are interested in them. So, at times, Celtic have to be patient. If they're to do what Andy's saying, sign two players worth £10 million, either they're currently at a club and their clubs are waiting to bring somebody else in before allowing those players to move on. Or it might be a player that's on the move and he's hoping, I don't know, for a Premier League team, and a Premier League team might sign somebody else. So you're going to have to be patient with it. For somebody to come into Celtic and to impact that starting 11, you know, they're going to be good players. They're going to have to be good players. We saw, you know, Celtic last season at stages how good they were. So, yeah, listen, I agree with Andy. You're going to have to be patient with it. All fans, we always want players signed straight away. But if you're going to come in and, you know, really enhance that starting 11, you're going to have to be a little bit more patient. And if you are going to go out there and spend £10 million, as I said, you might not be the player's number one destination. So, you know, I'm sure that Brendan knows who he wants, and it's just about, you know, waiting to see if he can get them.
We had a couple of callers on last night, Andy, that were saying they weren't convinced that Celtic were going to go out and pay big fees for players. What gives you the confidence that you think maybe a couple of £10 million players could be happening this window?
Don't get me wrong, Andrew. I've had this hope before, and it's clattered on about us, and we're starting the same as we did. However, it's about Brendan Rodgers' language, how he's been speaking the last couple of weeks. It seems to me that you're just reading between the lines, I suppose. It seems to me that he's sort of demanding certain things over the board. The fact that we've no one out and signed sort of a project players at this particular moment suggests that we've maybe changed our strategies just a wee bit, because the squad's too top heavy. So I could see, say, like maybe losing six and signing four or signing three. I just think if we're going to make an impact in Europe, but put it this way, you made a very good point there. On the 4th of August, Celtic could name the team, apart from the goalkeeper, the one that started the Scottish Cup final in May. So they've not decreased at any rate, and they will compete within that league. But if they want to keep the fans certainly satisfied, I think I go with the Champions League is the only thing we can really do. And to do that, we're going to need a couple of quality players.
What do you make of Andy's point that Celtic haven't gone out and signed, you know, quite a few project players so far? You would say that Voyami Sinisalo falls into that category, but with Kasper Schmeichel, who looks as if he's passed his medical, is going to join up with the team in the US, that looks like a clear strategy of bringing in an experienced goalkeeper and a younger goalkeeper to work under him, since they looks as if they need two goalkeepers. Joe Hart retiring, Benjamin Siegrist looks to be on his way out. Mm-hmm. The fact that the squad hasn't had those types of players come in yet, would that suggest that maybe money is being spent on, you know, bigger fees down the line?
Yeah, I think, you know, Andy says it again there, I think it's about quality rather than quantity. You know, if they want to make an impact on Europe, you're going to have to sign, you know, ready-made players, so to speak. You know, and Celtic have more than enough projects within their squad at this moment in time where they can go one transfer window without adding to that. As I said, you know, if you're talking about players that are going to come and impact the starting 11, then they are going to be players that are going to be worth upwards of £5-6 million, and that's the players that Andy's talking about coming in. So do have a big squad. I think it's one of them that they're going to want to reduce the numbers. You know, they also want to create pathways for young players. I know that they don't want to keep losing young players to other clubs. You know, we saw Vata go down to Watford as well. So it's about that balancing act for Celtic. But 100%, you know, bringing in two or three players of real quality that, one, can help them, you know, go and retain the league, but two, you know, also make an impact in Europe.
What do you make of the news that we've seen of Norwich's manager, Andy, talking about, well, not only talking about the fact that he started Adam Ida last night in a friendly against Club Bruges, came out afterwards saying that he feels he'll be an important player for them this season?
I mean, the manager indicated into the season that he was happy, he was satisfied with Ida, and he's somebody that he would like to sign, but I'm pretty sure there's a number of people who would like to sign. The fact of the matter is, Adam's Ida's Norwich's player, and his future lies in their hands. I mean, it's like Celtic saying they like Harry Kane. To Bayern Munich, and they go, they like, I'm not, before anybody makes a comment on social media when you think of this, that Harry Kane's on the same bracket as Adam Ida, I'm certainly not saying that. But what I'm saying is that he'll be a target, I'm pretty sure he will be, but he shouldn't be the only one, I don't think. And just on, see the wee hang.
I'll take that, Andy, I'll let you come back in. Just, is the important part in all this that Celtic have a contingency plan? Because clearly Adam Ida is a player that Brendan Rodgers wants. Celtic have put in an offer that's been knocked back, but the way that football clubs work, they'll need to have a list of other players that if Norwich either aren't willing to let him go or they're asking prices too high, that Celtic will need to have, well, here's option 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, 100% they'll have a list of players that they, you know, that they want to go for, and there'll also be kind of the bracket that how much Celtic are going to have to pay. If you can get Adam Ida, I don't know, if apparently it was £4 million that they bid for him, but they might say, well, if we're going to pay £6 million for a striker, then Adam Ida is no number one target. You know, this is our number one target because he's going to cost us between £6 and £7 million, and we believe at this moment in time he's a better player. That's just the way it works. You know, I have spoke about patience, but I think if Celtic wanted Adam Ido and they really were going to be aggressive and go after him, I think the time to do it was as soon as, you know, that the last ball was kicked of the season that's just finished. But as I said, they'll have other targets. There's no doubt about it. Brendan will say, well, listen, we're happy to go to that amount. If we go above that, as I just said, you know, there might be other targets that come of interest to us.
What was your next point, Andy?
Yeah, it was only a wee quick thing. Just Marvin made a point there about the bringing youth players through. I've known that time to articulate this before, but I think the whole market in terms of youth prospects within Scotland, particularly Celtic, maybe Rangers, has changed. And I want to go back since, you need to think back on this, since the Bosman ruling, the players have got the power now. They'll have these young players with 2 and 3 year contracts and big money that will come in for them. But it's switched a bit because if you look at people like Jeremy Frimpong and Dembele and guys like that who have left their academies south of the border and came to Celtic, it's just, I think the whole structure has changed.
Yeah, I agree. I think the dynamics have definitely changed with young players. I think, you know, a lot more pressure's on managers at big clubs as well, because where you used to talk about Sir Alex, you know, for example, you could bleed young players into the team because he knew if he didn't lose 2 games, then people won't be calling for his head. I think now with football, the way it's going is you lose a couple of games and everybody wants you out. So there's no time now for kind of these homegrown projects. You know, as fans, we cry out for these players to play. But if these players are playing and our team lose a couple of games, then, you know, all of a sudden things start to change. So, yeah, listen, it's made a lot more difficult for young players. I agree. You know, Frimpong and Dembele, we've seen, you know, come up and make massive impacts and Celtic sell them on. But I'm sure, you know, every fan wants to see an academy project playing. But again, that comes with patience, and that's something that you can't really, you know, label with football anymore.
Well, thank you to Andy. Let's stick with the phones. Gareth is a Rangers fan in Carlisle. Gareth, what's on your mind?
Good evening, guys. You okay?
Hello, mate.
Yep, all good.
Regarding the Ibrox Hampden thing with Rangers, I think, I'm not got exact what he's got figures, but I think Rangers has got about 45,000 season ticket holders. And all the fiasco regarding where they're going to sit and everything like that, and are they going to get with their friends or family or whatever. And
it's all right, we can take that point, Gareth, and let you come back in, because there are certainly over 40,000 season ticket holders that Rangers have. You would expect that with Hampden having a capacity of around 50,000, the first priority for Rangers will be making sure that everyone that's bought a season ticket will be getting a seat at Hampden. Where it becomes tough, I would guess, is trying to get people seated together that maybe need to be seated together for whatever reason. And we've talked about it before on the show, but it seems like it's going to be a bit of a logistical nightmare for not only that to get sorted, but a lot to get sorted for Rangers heading into these games at Hampden.
Yeah, listen, I hope somebody behind the scenes is sorting these things out, because, you know, there's one thing that we always speak about, you know, our game, and I'm a massive advocate of Scottish football, and, you know, it's always spoken about, and I try and speak about it as hard as I possibly can. But, you know, there's a lot of things that have gone on about, you know, kind of the money that's generated from the game and TV, and it should be worth a lot more. To see one of our top clubs be in this situation doesn't look good, you know, for other people looking in on us. You know, we'll move on to the point that Gareth just made. But I think, you know, it's kind of embarrassing for us as Scottish football. I'm not just talking about one football club, regardless of who it is. I think if they knew that there was going to be a delay in potentially being at Ibrox, I think if you come out and you're transparent at the back end of last season, you explain to people, listen, this is what we needed to do. It's going to be a delay. Contingency plan is we'll play at a different stadium if needs be. I think the way that it's come out, you know, left a bitter taste in a lot of Rangers fans' mouths. And as Gareth says there, you know, what's going to happen now with the season tickets? Are we going to be sat together, et cetera, et cetera? So there's a lot that needs to be answered, and, you know, those answers can only come from within the club. And I'm sure I saw something the other day that they will come out and they are going to speak to fans, but I think it needs to be sooner rather than later, because as a football fan, you know, if it was Hibs, for example, and this happened, I would want to know straight away what's going on, and I think the fans deserve that.
Gareth?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, it's quite... it's an absolute fiasco, isn't it? But like, my second sort of point was with Philip Clement coming out saying the Rangers haven't got any money and things like that. They've got to like get rid of, what do you call it, people before they can get other players in. It seems to be that they're going to lose a lot of revenue from Ibrox, but they're going to pay to go to Hampden, but that money's not going to be coming in. So are they going to be in a worst case scenario when they go back to Ibrox and they've got no money?
Yeah, no doubt there will be costs. It's going to be an expensive process, having to not only rent Hampden, but they're having to pay to make sure that the pitch is ready in time. And there'll be various other costs as well, I can imagine. Philip Clement, you know, I think people will naturally ask the question when Philip Clement has come out and said, well, the situation with money in this transfer window is actually different from what I thought. We need to sell before we can buy. So I think naturally fans will be asking the question that, you know, has this move to Hampden affected the transfer budget potentially?
Yeah, well, it's not going to have helped it, is it? Regardless of what it's going to cost. You know, I think that the biggest thing that it's going to cost Rangers is the atmosphere. You know, especially on those European nights that we're speaking about with the qualifiers that they do have. You know, we've all seen it when Ibrox has been rocking. You know, no disrespect to Hampden, but it's not going to be the same. In terms of kind of the transfer budget that Rangers do now have, and Clement saying we have to sell players before we buy, it happens in football. You know, he's an experienced manager, and I'm sure he'll be ready to deal with that. Everyone wants kind of an endless amount of cash to go and spend on players, but that's not realistic. You know, it doesn't happen. Maybe he was expecting a little bit more money, but now this has came up and, you know, Rangers are having to put money elsewhere. It happens. You know, if you have to move players on to bring others in, then, you know, at the end of the day, you can only pay of 11 players. And that's all Clement will be worried about. You know, can we get a good enough team on that pitch to make sure by the time we do come back to Ibrox, you know, we've not dropped points, you know, needlessly. And that's what we'll be saying to the players now. Listen, what's happened's happened. There's no excuse. You play for Rangers Football Club. You're expected to go and win games in teams' back garden. So it doesn't matter if we're at Hampden or anywhere else. You know, get that out of your minds now. That's not going to be used as an excuse.
Well, thank you to Gareth. He and Andy are in the hat to win a pair of tickets to the Scottish Sun Ladies Night at Ayr Racecourse on Saturday, the 10th of August. To win tickets, all you need to do to get in the draw is to give us a call and make a point. 0141 951 1025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, brought to you by UK Debt Expert. And the time it takes to play a match, 145 people will have asked them for help with their finances. Their free debt advice has helped over 250,000 people and counting. So if you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you. Check out UK Debt Expert.co.uk and give us a call on 0141 951 1025. Remember, if you get on air and make a point, you will go into the hat to win a pair of tickets for the Scottish Sun Ladies Night at Ayr Racecourse on the 10th of August. I was scrolling through Twitter earlier on, I think it was this morning, and there was MLS games going on last night while we were sleeping. Did you see the player that made his debut for the Philadelphia Union last night? 14 years old and 293 days.
Honestly.
14 years old.
I thought there was a rule around that as well. I didn't think.
Apparently not, because remember Freddie Adu? He was the original, you know, big hope in America. Yeah. When was that? However many years ago. That must be about 20 years ago now.
Yeah.
He was 14 as well when I think he made his debut.
Man. Yeah, that's scary, isn't it?
Played against Mark Wilson at one point for DC United.
Did he?
Mark was saying the other day. I have no idea why we were talking about Freddie Adu the other day. I think it was the whole Lamine Yamal being really young and now looks old compared to this boy, Cavan Sullivan. That is crazy. And also, in true modern football style, apparently has already agreed to sign for Manchester City when he's 18.
There's a surprise. I'm actually shocked he's got the number 6 as well, hasn't he? So
yeah, I did wonder that. Should normally, like, how high hopes do they have for him they've already given a 14-year-old the number 6?
Like number 70 something, like an academy number, but number 6 as well, 14 years of age, man. I hate to think what I was doing at 14, but yeah, he's obviously a good footballer, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't even want to think what year it'll be when he turns 18 and is allowed to play in the Premier League. Anyway, let's get back to Scottish football. Let's speak to Charlie, who's a Rangers fan in Greenock. Charlie, how are you?
Oh, you're joking. Charlie's good, but I'm sorry you got it wrong. Charlie's not a Rangers fan, not by any manner.
Oh, sorry about that. Whoever's written this on my screen has got that wrong. Probably one of the worst things you could get wrong, depending on what side you're on, so apologies for that.
No, that's the worst thing if you get wrong, trust me.
It's been changed on my screen immediately. The producer has done that as quickly as he possibly can. Charlie's a Celtic fan from Greenock, sorry.
So I had a point about the Rangers debacle in Hampden, but it kind of grew from that. So it's a kind of double point, serious point as well. So my question was, where are Rangers expecting the away fans to sit when they come to Hampden Park? Bear in mind, there's also the Champions League qualifiers coming up as well. Are Rangers expecting the away fans to sit behind it? And what are the worst seats in Scottish football, if not British football? Listen, the worst seats in British football, behind A stands. Are they expecting them to pay money in that? And especially the ones in Europe. I would argue that a national stadium is as important to the national identity as, for instance, the Parliament building or something else. You know, the $500 million they spent on. I would say that a national stadium is as important to the national identity. And we're expecting people to come from abroad and to sit in these seats. It's a disgrace.
In fairness, I have gone abroad and covered Celtic and Rangers games away in Europe quite a lot. And quite a lot of teams have, you know, these old school sort of Olympic style stadiums with running tracks around them, and fans are given, away fans are always given the worst possible view. Yes, it's not the view they would have got at Ibrox, but I do also think that probably the last thing that is going to be on Rangers' mind at the moment is catering for away European fans. They'll probably be wanting to make sure that their home fans, the ones that have paid for season tickets and whatever else, get housed first, and then that's probably what's going to come later.
Yeah, rightly so. I don't think there's a, you know, a stadium that anyone has, any team has, and you're going to put the away supporters in the best seats, so to speak. So yeah, you know, you look after your own fans first and foremost, and then, you know, from there, you know, whatever the away team are given, they're given, they're the away side. And as you said, you know, we've seen, you know, Celtic and Rangers and other Scottish teams, you know, play in Europe, sometimes you're playing on Astro pitches. You know, you've seen, you know, Hibs, for example, go and play in the Faroe Islands. So listen, Hampden, you know, looks like a state-of-the-art, top-notch stadium compared to some of the others, Charlie, in terms of, you know, where Scottish teams have gone and played.
Well, I've not seen any stadiums around Europe as bad as that. Can I have a wee point on the Euros there?
Yep.
The Switzerland game, it was maybe half the amount of supporters that you would see at Hampden. A lot of supporters for an away game, Switzerland. And it's probably the best we've ever heard the national anthem. And that was from half the numbers that you get in Hampden Park. I would argue, the national stadium is as important to the country as a Parliament building. And I've done the figures there while it was off air. If the MPs value us as much as they value themselves, they would need to spend £125 billion on a national stadium. If they equate the £500 million they spent on the Parliament building, if you equate it across, and if you equate us as valuable as them, it comes up to $125 billion. I'm asking for $125 billion, maybe $1.25 would be a wee starter.
Look, I like someone that's done their homework and comes with statistics. That I think the main point here is that Hampden is owned by the Scottish FA, so, you know, first and foremost, money would need to be fronted by the Scottish FA, whether there is any government grant or whatever that goes into that. But I've also been at, you know, cup semi-finals, finals, where the atmosphere has sounded good when, you know, if it's Celtic and Rangers, a 50-50 split, or Scotland games with the national anthem has also sounded very good at Hampden as well. I'm not saying Hampden is a perfect stadium by any means, but I do think sometimes people do downplay the Hampden atmosphere at times.
No, listen, I've been to games there, you know, either whether it's watching, you know, working or playing. You know, and you're right, Andrew, you know, the atmosphere has been fantastic. And as I said, there's always different stadiums that have better atmospheres than others. That's just the way football is, you know. There's always going to be a list from one to whatever. But listen, Hampden, let's be honest, there's a lot worse stadiums out there than Hampden. You know, I agree with Charlie. I was at the game Scotland v Switzerland, and the national anthem was, you know, was spine-tingling there. It was absolutely fantastic. And the atmosphere was brilliant, you know, for a Euros game as well. But I imagine if you put a Euros game in Hampden, unfortunately, when it did come there, we weren't allowed any fans in, were we? Or minimal fans, whatever it was. During
10,000 odd, maybe a bit more than that.
Exactly, during COVID. So, you know, it made things very, very difficult. But yeah, I don't think we need to be completely knocking the stadium down and trying to get 1.25 billion or whatever the number was.
One thing I will say is, and you were at this game as well, Scotland's third group game against Hungary in Stuttgart. Stuttgart's ground was very similar to Hampden at one point, had the big running track around it. There was a huge renovation job done on it, where the two stands behind the goal were brought in, and it looked really good. I thought the atmosphere was brilliant. I think that would probably be the route that people would be looking for, because that certainly seems to be the blueprint.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think, you know, again, without having to knock the stadium down, as you said, bringing the two goals, those two stands, sorry, behind the goals closer in, would definitely enhance the atmosphere. And, you know, listen, we all want a fantastic atmosphere, but at the end of the day, it comes down to money, and it comes down to, you know, is it affordable to do it? Does it make sense to do it? And that's probably, you know, listen, if the Scottish FA could do it and they had the money to do it, I'm sure they would. But, you know, we all want money spent in various different places. But I agree, that the atmosphere, could it be better at Hampden? Yes. Could it be better at other stadiums as well? Yes, of course. Things can always improve.
Well, thank you to Charlie. We'll go to Andy, who's a Celtic fan in Stirling, in a second. But Just seen a tweet there from Fabrizio Romano, who's the sort of well-known transfer guru, who is tweeting about James Tavernier. He says Turkish side Trabzonspor have sent a formal proposal to Rangers for James Tavernier. Now, that's the same side that have already brought in Borna Barisic in this window and John Lundstrom in this window. I don't know whether they've just been sat watching Rangers games and decided to sign the whole team, but that looks to be a significant, you know, move that they're clearly sending a proposal. They're interested. I think that will get Rangers fans talking as well, because there's been a lot of debate this summer, especially whether this could be the time for James Tavernier to move on, whether he's going to stay at the club. There hadn't really seemed to be any concrete offers or proposals. This looks to be the first.
Yeah, without knowing obviously how much the proposal is, you know, it's probably difficult to comment on, but unless it's something that is way above, you know, what Rangers value him at, I think it would be, you know, met with a firm no. I know there's, you know, there's a divided opinion on James Tavernier from Rangers fans, but I think, you know, for everything that Frelsey say he has defensively, I think going forward, you know, the numbers in terms of assists and goals, it'd be a massive, massive hole that they'll need to fill. But also, you know, on the back of Philip Clement's comments saying that we need to sell before we buy, now, you know, anyone's going to be circling around Rangers players thinking, well, you know, let's have a cheeky bid for that player because they need to bring money in. So, listen, it might be a time where, you know, teams will come and they will try and test the water. But as I said, unless it's a substantial amount of money, I don't think Rangers will be even entertaining the offer.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025. Rangers fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on that. Let's speak to Andy, who's a Celtic fan in Stirling. Andy, what have you got for us tonight?
Hi, you guys. How are you doing? All right?
All good, mate.
Basically, I'm actually worried about Scottish football. I feel that the situation at Rangers is almost damaging the whole product because of the incompetence of the Rangers board. Now, I didn't say that happily, because I'll be quite honest, I would rather watch competitive football, but I'm not entirely sure Rangers will even finish third this year the way things are going. I don't think the signs coming out of Ibrox are good at all, and I think as a Celtic supporter, the worry for me is that the Celtic board do their due diligence and say, you know what, we don't need to spend a lot of money, which means we're watching really an inferior product.
Who do you think will beat Rangers to second place, Andy?
I think you've got to really look at Hearts. Somebody that the signings Hearts have made with Jan Dander and one or two others this year, they were very strong last year, Hearts, and I think they'll be strong again. They can only be stronger than they were last year. I just feel that even the likes of John Lundstrom, leaving Rangers, who isn't he a world beater, but he was stronger than what they've got, and with Philippe Clement coming out with the comments that he's coming out with, you know, there's a worry there. But the most worrying thing for me was James Bisgrove leaving 2 months ago, and I'm a Celtic fan. Anybody with a brain knows if the money man's leaving, then there's something in there that everybody should be worried
about. Well, he wasn't the money man. He was the CEO. He was a sort of marketing guy before that. I'll take Andy's first point, saying that he thinks that there's a chance Rangers could finish third. Do you think it's possible that Hearts could close that gap on Rangers this season? When you look at the table last season, what was it, almost 20 points, maybe 17 points?
Yeah.
Rangers finished ahead of Hearts. Could you see them making that up this season?
No, I can't see any team splitting Celtic and Rangers, or Rangers and Celtic, whichever way it finishes. I think they'll be the top two for many years to come. You know, I think it would be a minor miracle to see anyone split those two, regardless of if Celtic or Rangers didn't sign another player. I think, you know, the quality that they do have within their squads compared to everybody else in the league, and, you know, it comes down to the money that they can pay, wages, etc. I wouldn't expect another team to split them. Hearts have made some very, very good signings, by the way. And, you know, if they can improve on what they did last year, I think they potentially could close a gap. But to split them, you know, there's something very, very different to closing the gap.
Andy, do you feel that, you know, what's happening at Rangers will affect Celtic directly at all? Do you think, I'm assuming you're expecting Celtic to run away with things this season then?
I really believe that it's going to affect not just Celtic, but the whole of Scottish football. I actually feel sorry for the Rangers fans, if I'm being completely honest, because I think they've been shortchanged at every turn. Do I think it'll affect Celtic? Of course it does. We've said for years and years that it's difficult enough to play in the Scottish League and then go into the Champions League. and perform at that level because it's such a big jump. Well, you know what? If you're actually in a close title race with your nearest rivals, that means that they're keeping you sharp every week. But I actually don't believe, if you read between the lines as to what Philippe Clement's coming out with and one or two others, that Rangers are going to keep anybody sharp this year.
And do you think that makes much of a difference, Marvin, if Celtic went out and they signed the players that Brendan Rodgers wants in this window and then they go into Champions League football, if they're not playing in as strong a league? Say Rangers aren't as strong as they were last season, like Andy thinks they're not going to be. Is that going to make a huge difference? Because the rest of the teams you would expect are either going to be similar to what they were last season. Some will be slightly stronger, some will be slightly weaker. If Rangers aren't as strong as they were last season, is that really going to have a huge impact on how Celtic compete against some of the top clubs in Europe?
No, listen, I think when you play for Celtic Football Club, you know the standards that come along with that. And I think, I know Andy's trying to be diplomatic, but I think every Celtic fan out there wouldn't care where Rangers finish. In fact, they would want Rangers as far away from them as possible, and they would want Celtic to run away with the league. When they go into Europe, they understand that, you know, without being disrespectful, from kind of the domestic football against majority of the teams to going and, well, playing the Champions League, domestic football against all of the teams, you know, going and playing the Champions League against some of the best teams in and around Europe, there is going to be a jump up in standard. There is going to be a jump up in quality, but that's something that they have to deal with. It doesn't matter, you know, what's happening on a week-to-week basis. They know that they're going to have to take their game up to another level. Obviously, you know, if Celtic were in a league that's, you know, was stronger and they're playing against better teams week in, week out, then you're probably able to bring better players because it becomes a more competitive league. But, you know, listen, Celtic know what they have to do. They know what they have to do domestically. They know what they have to do in Europe, and they won't be worried about anybody else.
Well, thank you to Andy. Let me tell you about this while you get your calls in on 01419511025. It's that time of the year where you're wanting to keep the kids entertained during the summer holidays. Well, head over to Clyde1.com. We've got tons of prizes and offers available for local attractions so you can keep the kids entertained. One of them is the Scottish Football Museum, which is based at where we were just talking about, Scotland's National Stadium, Hampden Park. Here you can learn about Scotland's footballing history from the 19th century right through to the present day. You can walk through the turnstiles from former Hampden Grounds. You can sit in the original dressing room, and you can see the oldest national football trophy in the world, the Scottish Cup. It's a great day out, and as well as seeing the sights of the museum, you can also enjoy a stadium tour followed by a coffee and lunch at the Hampden Cafe. Head over right now to Schools Out for Summer page at Clyde1.com and click the Scottish Football Museum tab. You can find out all about the museum, and you can nominate a primary school of your choice to receive a full class visit to the stadium as well.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, Marvin Bartley with me, Andrew McLean, in the studio, just looking through Twitter at Clyde SSB. One of the previous callers, Andy, was a Celtic fan, saying that he feels a bit sorry for Rangers fans just with the situation that's going on in the moment. Probably unsurprisingly, a lot of his fellow Celtic fans are saying they don't feel the same. Yeah. It did surprise me when he said that, because it's not really what the rivalry is built on, is it? Is sympathy for each other.
Yeah, and I think he'd been genuine with it as well. But as I said, you know, I think he'd be one of very few, if not the only kind of Celtic fan who was thinking that way, just the way with football is, and, you know, rivals and everything else. So, listen, he made his point and that's how he felt. But as you said, on social media, they're not agreeing with him.
Well, 01419511025 on the phones. We did just bring you that breaking news, a tweet from Fabrizio Romano, who seems to be across a lot of the breaking transfer news, says that Trabzonspor, the Turkish side, have submitted a formal proposal to Rangers for James Tavernier. We'll keep a keen eye on that. Easy for me to say. We'll go back to the phones. William is a Rangers fan in Alloa. Just first of all, William, what do you make of that news?
Regarding Tavernier, I'm not surprised, although there was obviously talk that he might go to Saudi Arabia, so any claim that there's going to be a bumper deal is likely not to materialise if he's going to Turkey. A little bit disappointing.
Is he a player that you want to see stay? Is he a player you feel it's maybe time for him to move on this window?
I think Tavernier is a great guy, and he's had a great time at Rangers. I think it's really up to him. But yes, last season was quite disappointing. He didn't really reach the heights of previous years, so he may have come to the end of his cycle, as Pedro Cachina might have said.
What do you? It's a tough one because you know, Williams saying that James Tavernier didn't quite reach the heights of previous campaigns. When you look at, you know, 24 goals across all competitions last season, which I think was his best return that he's ever had for Rangers, obviously wears the captain's armband. He would be huge to replace, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Well, like you said, you know, Williams say he didn't hit the heights, and then you say he scores 24 goals across, you know, all competitions. I think it'd be a massive blow. I know, as I said, you know, Rangers fans have spoken about him defensively and kind of the holes he leaves back there. But, you know, going forward and his creativity and, you know, finishing, you know, penalties, free kicks, etc., set pieces, is fantastic as well. So I think it would be a big blow for Rangers. But as William said, you know, sometimes players do move on and you have to find a replacement. But I think, you know, if that's a transfer that Rangers are going to allow to happen, it's going to have to be for a lot of money because, you know, I think James Tavernier would be one of the last players from last season that they would want to move on this season.
William, what was it you were wanting to chat about tonight?
Well, I think that the real signing that Rangers need to be making is in the boardroom, or a new board, I would say. I think there's a real lack of ambition, there's a lack of vision, there's a lack of courage. And at the moment, it looks like Rangers will be lucky to be finishing third. And they had a manager that got them to the final of a European competition. They made him look like a clown because they didn't support him. And they've now got Clement, and they're now going to make him look silly, it looks like, because he's not getting support. They're fishing at the bottom of the barrel. They're looking at players who are out of contract. They're trying to sign a player from Spain who's apparently had a really bad last season. And it just doesn't look good. And I'm a shareholder at Rangers. I'm also a shareholder at Hearts. I went to both AGMs, and I left the Hearts AGM thinking if the Hearts board were in charge of Rangers, Rangers would have won the league. And so I think that's what needs to happen. We need to have signings at the board level for things to change and for the manager to actually be a success. So it's just very frustrating looking on.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Rangers transfer window has sparked all this for William. Mm-hmm. Money has been spent in this transfer window, but it has been on more sort of potential project players. There was $4.5 million from what counts as the transfer window, this summer transfer window, on Mohamed Diamandé.
Yeah.
There's been money spent on Hamza Igamani, who Philip Clement has said himself is not ready to start games. A bit of money spent on Jeff Day as well. But William's saying that he doesn't feel the ambition's there to push on. He doesn't think the club are, you know, able to compete. Says that doesn't even know if they'll finish second this season, as well as a previous Celtic caller had said.
Yeah, listen, one thing that clubs don't have, like, an endless amount of money, and I spoke about this earlier on in the show. I think Michael Beale was heavily backed, spent an awful lot of money at Rangers, and I don't think there's one of the players from the top of my head that he brought in that are worth more now than what Rangers paid for them. You know, you talk about Lahm's going on, I think they're saying that they can, you know, they'll get the same money back now, although they, you know, a couple of days ago, they're talking about taking 50% of what they paid for him. You can't continue to just spend money. The board are there to make sure that, you know, clubs are there long term for everyone. So you can't just continue to spend money. You know, as fans, we'd always want that, no matter who you support. But there has to come a point where you say, well, no, listen, we have to get rid of players before we can bring players in. I know William wants more players, but, you know, I'm sure the board are doing everything within their power to give Clement as much money as they possibly can.
Well, thank you to William. Unfortunately, that is all we've got time for on the phones. It has been a very quick show. I did see not long before we came on air that Kasper Schmeichel had taken to Instagram. He was thanking Anderlecht for his time at the club. Does that just seem like that is the point where he's signed and sealed at Celtic and it's just going to be announced now if he's saying goodbye to his former club?
Yeah, I think so. I think, but you know, by the time we get home tonight, Andrew, I think that will be a transfer that will be done. An experienced goalkeeper coming in, I think, you know, majority of Celtic fans will be extremely happy with that.
Yeah, well, thank you for listening in tonight. Thank you for your calls and thank you for your tweets. Thanks to Marvin Bartley in the studio as well. We may be talking about that as an official signing tomorrow night, so make sure to join us at 6 o'clock. I'll be in the studio with Roger Hanna. Remember, if you want to catch up on the show, you can listen back wherever you get your podcast. You can watch the live stream back as well on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter by searching for Clyde One SSB. Stay right there. It's Callum Gallagher. That's up next.